The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We have Jody Jackson coming on today. JJ with Fox Sports Arizona, about to become Bally's Sports. Want to have Jody on to talk about Pedro, and Paul Coro will be with us today over at Grand Canyon University to talk about Pedro as well. Everywhere I went yesterday, people wanted to talk about Pedro Gomez, and rightly so. Last night, I was flipping around on the national news, not the locals. The locals did stuff on Pedro, as they should. The Nationals did things on Pedro, too. Pedro was just, it's still hard to believe that Pedro Gomez is not here. It's hard to believe. So I want to talk to both of our friends, Pedro's friends, my friends, Jody Jackson, Paul Coro, on today's show. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. They are across the valley, and before you know it, they're going to be across the state. Great people. We appreciate their support. Watched some of the Suns last night. No Chris Paul. Devin Booker had a big night. What I like about Devin Booker this season, and what I like about where the Suns are going, is that it's no longer the Devin Booker's got to go score 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 points and they lose. No, Chris Paul couldn't play last night, so Devin Booker said, I got to go be more influential in the outcome of this game. And DeAndre Ayton played well again. I don't know if you saw on Sunday, chances are many of you did not when the Suns played Boston. It was Super Bowl Sunday. But there was a stretch late in the game where Monty Williams jumped all over and down and through DeAndre Ayton and got on him. I mean, really got on him. And I sit here and I watch DeAndre Ayton some nights and I just want to throw things because I'm one of the dopes that said, yeah, you should take DeAndre Ayton and not take Luka Doncic. And we all have seen what Luka's done. I feel like giving up on DeAndre Ayton is the easy thing to do. And if DeAndre Ayton could get them like he did last night, where it was 15 points, 16 boards, and really he could get a double-double every night, go block four or five shots, change the trajectory of four or five shots in a game. That's what he's capable of doing, in my opinion. Can he do it consistently? I don't know. He hasn't so far. So the Suns have won three in a row, and these are, you know, outside of Boston, you should beat Detroit. You should beat Cleveland. Even if you're shorthanded, you should win those games. So they won three games in a row, and they're becoming, again, interesting. The closer they get to postseason, not what happened last year where it's we're going to go into a bubble and we're going to have a play-in, and that was all fun and dandy, but regular season, here's where we are. They're the fourth seed right now. Today, yeah, the playoffs don't start today on February 9th, but fourth seed means they'd have home court advantage in the playoffs. So I'm interested in that. The TV ratings came out for the Super Bowl. Some of you are going to be very happy by this. Some of you on a certain political leaning will say, see, the NFL is not popular. See, because they didn't get 100 million people that watched. The ratings were down. See, because I hear from you guys. You want your narrative. And I would just say, I don't know, 96 million people still watched. So if you're going to throw this at me, if you're going to do the email and go and send messages on, yeah, you just love this political side. No, it's nothing to do with the political side. It has everything to do. The NFL is sitting there saying, mask up. I do believe in that. 100%. If that's what's said to a certain amount of people out there, if there are 5 million people said, I'm not going to watch that, 96 million people did. So that you're going to hear this. The ratings were down. I think the number that's more interesting to me today is that Tom Brady made $28.3 million this last year. Jared Goff made $31 million. Carson Wentz made $39 million. And Carson Wentz is going to get traded in all likelihood to either Indianapolis, the Bears, or Carolina. You know, and I know Brady's at the end. He's structuring his contracts in different ways, but you kidding me? $11 million more for Carson Wentz? About that. The Coyotes had a nice win last night. In college basketball, the Big Ten is moving their tournament from Chicago to Indianapolis. which means they're going to play. That is my concern with the Pac-12 and with the WAC. We'll talk about that with Paul Coro a little bit later on in the show. But up next, Jody Jackson, Fox Sports Arizona, as we continue to talk about the passing of Pedro and more after this timeout. All right, as promised, Jody Jackson with us for a few minutes. She just finished teaching over at Cronkite. You got a shot, huh?
Yeah, I'm in the car where I don't know if I've ever done a lot. Well, I've done in a parked car. Yeah, I guess I have. Not where I was really doing a lot of speaking, though. A lot of it's listening to, you know, people talking and interviews and stuff.
But you got your shot last night? Are you two shots in? That's how we're going to start interviews now with everybody. How many shots have you had, by the way?
I know we're always very honest here on the Brad Sesmott show. Yeah, and I'll just say this, because I know there's a lot of people, it was heartbreaking for me to read a story in the Republic about one of the reporters was trying to help an 85-year-old couple get an appointment. So I feel for those that are trying to get these appointments. And because I do teach a class here in the classroom at Cronkite, and why I'm not in there is because I need to be wearing a mask when I'm in that building. And I thought it would be better to Zoom with you without the mask on. So yeah, for those that are, you know, I mean, let's face it, we're in this world today where, you know, we're all kind of in the same boat. And I feel like, though, if I can get the shot, which I can because I teach in a classroom, that I should get the shot. Yes. I do go in the middle of the night because for me, that's my most convenient time. I'd love to be able to like shop in the middle of the night anywhere, or do errands or go to the bank, because like I do these games and I'm amped up. So I do hockey. I got my first shot middle of January, got my second shot. I feel great. I've heard some stories, people not feeling well after the second shot. I'm only about 10 hours in, but I feel great. So
you got it at midnight if I'm going off 10 hours.
I got it. 12 hours. I got it around 10:45.
Did you pull into the stadium to do it?
I did. And every time I go by there, and I'm there a lot with hockey, I get a little emotional. We've never been through anything like this. Our parents and grandparents have. But to see this process going on and to try to get our lives back to normal and to prevent death, I know we're not going to prevent sickness completely, but it gets me a little, I just get excited when I see it. And so,
yeah, your social reads like you are evolving a bit, you know,
I have definitely evolved in the last year.
Yes. There's nothing wrong with that. It's, we don't see each other in person, but socially I see where you've done all the games and you're going to keep doing games, but now you're in this space of being a high school mom, high school athletic mom, and a younger mom of sporting events, which that's a whole adventure. And going through the pandemic, you've just become, there's more of you out there now, which I think is great. Nothing wrong.
I don't know if I'm just sharing more because, you know, I try to ride that line of like not being obnoxious bragging mom and then, but like celebrating.
You are.
I try to not overpost anything really, because I don't like, I personally, there's so much out there, right? So I try to filter like what could be important or entertaining or, but I don't know. Yeah. There's just so much, the world is spinning quickly here. I mean, there's so much going on, more than we've ever had to deal with. Right. And yeah, life is, I mean, I'm more well-rounded as a person, I think, seeing what's going on in our world and seeing how we need each other. And you know, there's just a lot. I mean, there's a lot, especially this past week. I don't even know how to describe all of the emotions that sometimes we feel as we've been faced with our own mortality, I think at any age now. And it kind of makes people live a little bit differently. I'm not sure I'm living completely differently. I don't feel like I am. But it makes you enjoy every day and every moment, and you don't want to have regrets and all of that stuff that we talk about, but maybe don't live it.
Jody Jackson with us. She's in the parking lot at Cronkite with Fox Sports Arizona. And how much longer do I say Fox Sports Arizona versus Bally Sports? Do you know?
Things are happening. I don't know how much I can, I don't know how much I'm supposed to reveal, really.
Don't reveal. Yeah, reveal. Don't get in trouble. Don't go and get in trouble. Because I know that, you know, my show's on Bally Sports, so I'll say Bally Sports. I don't know if I'm supposed to say Bally Sports. Nobody's called me and says, don't say it, but it's coming. Bally Sports Arizona, I think, is how it's supposed to be.
You might know more than I do because I do listen to all the information, believe me, but I'm really entrenched in game days with hockey. We're doing a lot of hockey. I don't know if you've noticed this.
You do a lot of St. Louis games. I've noticed you do a lot of games with St. Louis. When did you become the official home of St. Louis Blues hockey? Oh, by the way, they play the Coyotes. So
it feels that way, but you know, we've got their number a little bit. So kind of enjoying watching these, I would say young kids, but some of them are growing up right before our eyes on this team. And we've seen them grow the last few years and they're really having a lot of fun right now. And that is really great to see.
Are they going to be a playoff team though? Jody, I mean, every year they start out, not every year, last year they started out great. And you know, it's like a struggle. So I want to see I want deep playoff hockey. Deep playoff hockey is good.
Yeah, they had a struggle last year. If I recall, it was my last road trip for work was Dallas, St. Louis. And they were struggling at that time to just put a full 60 minutes together. And I really think they are a playoff team this year. I love the goaltending, love the system, you know, that they're running now more naturally. And now it's just the thing is always the goal scoring, right? I mean, and I see that coming along with some of these guys that are becoming, you know, like Connor Garland to me is a star. He should be considered that. I know it's hard to break into that level in the NHL, but these guys, they're really coming along. And if they can consistently score goals, I mean, I think they could go deep. I like them getting to the playoffs based on the system and the goalies and the strong, you know, defensive play most nights.
Jody Jackson with us for a couple of minutes. Before I get into Pedro, you're now in this mom space of high school quarterback. High school quarterback moms, that's not an easy place to be because you have to go to 7-on-7s in February. You start looking at rankings. You start looking at QB hit lists. When I run into quarterback moms, they just start looking at, well, if he can play in high school, can he play in college?
I sense there are a flood of quarterback moms following you like the Pied Piper.
Oh, my gosh. And so I get used to the, here's my son at the 7-on-7. It's either dad or mom on Monday mornings. My inbox has them. And it's like, it doesn't mean a thing. Okay. It's when he puts on the orange Corona del Sol, and he goes out and plays in the fall, we'll see. But any of this stuff, there's not a bunch of guys running to knock his head off. So please, please, please control yourselves over, well, he threw 30 touchdowns and only one interception over the weekend. I don't know. How are you handling that?
My kids might even get upset with me for saying this, both of them, but it's like, yeah, I mean, for me, a lot of it doesn't matter unless it's in that moment where all of the conditions are the same for what you're going to actually have to do at a higher level. Right. Like, but Connor did go, you know, his freshman season, they went 8-0. He did great. I mean, this sounds terrible again. Was I surprised? I mean, a little bit, just because he's always done this since he was little. He's always played quarterback. He loves it. If he could map it out, that's what he wants to do. I mean, he does play baseball also, but you know, the first play he throws this touchdown. I mean, I am going to sound like quarterback mom right now, cause I know everybody thinks their kid is the smartest, right? But he's got a real knack for the game. I don't want to go too deep, but maybe someday you'll find out. I mean, his knowledge and just of offense, of scheme, of like the football IQ thing, we're going to find out. I can't prove it to you right now. Certainly can't prove it in 7-on-7, but I think it's pretty good. And so physical stuff, because when you go to these, here's the thing, and I'm trying not to get too long-winded, but you go to all these things and there's a ton of them. There's camps, there's showcases, there's 7-on-7. And everybody has a good arm. I mean, almost everybody has a good arm. And so it just starts to look like, ooh, okay, you know, I enjoy it all. I marvel at everyone's eye. I come home, I talk to my husband and kids about, did you see that arm, this arm, this arm? Connor, you know, you have a great arm. There's so much more to it, like you said, and you don't know until things start happening. So he's got one season under the belt. You know, they had the one game they picked up against Red Mountain, which was the close game, and it was really fun. They won 21-20. Todd Heap's son was on two, the twin boys were on the other side, and it was a battle. It was neat.
Do you curse at your coach?
No.
Good.
I don't curse, Brad.
I know you don't curse, but but I've seen crazy moms curse. They lose.
No, gosh, no.
Quarterback moms start to lose. Some of them start to lose their minds as they get older. Do you have glitter on your shirt with your son's number on the back?
No, I'm a big anti-shirt person. Like as far as uniforms, shirts, I am weird. Because I railed against it because my husband actually is the shirt and uniform guy that makes for all the little leagues, all the, I mean, you come to him, you'll, and it's like, it's made me go the other way. Like, I'm like, it's not about how you look. It's not about how you look. I don't care.
Are you the quarterback mom that has their nails done in the colors of the team with their son's numbers on the nails?
No. Well, now you're just going, now you're just offending everyone I even know out there, right?
Do you know these people? Have you seen these people? Have you seen these people? Do you have the number of your son on the back of the vehicle?
No, but I did in Little League.
Yeah, that's all
right. For All-Stars, you got to do that. You got to do that. No, I mean, I know what you're saying. And it, I think the natural thing is, and not to sound, I'm definitely not judging, okay? But because of my job, I've been absent a lot from all of this. And so I'm very nitty-gritty with it. And frankly, I am because I haven't had a lot of time. I mean, and other parents always say to me, when they were younger, they'd be like, oh, I feel so bad. You know, they feel bad for me. But it's like, I have the time to race over there in whatever I'm wearing from work, or I race over and I just try to get there. I don't even sadly care what I look like or anything. No. So I just try to get there.
It's awesome to see from a distance. It's awesome to see you do this from a distance because you could be at every single last game because that is your job. And I've been in that space and I miss things with my first three. And that's why I started doing this. Because I haven't missed one thing with this last one. And it's fun. It's fun. Doesn't mean you don't work. Doesn't mean there aren't times you miss. But
and I know how hard you work at what you're doing now. So I know it's maybe a little bit different times of day when you work. But I know it's still a lot of work.
Yeah. 4 a.m. is not bad when you get used to it. Get it out of the way. Jody Jackson with us. All right. I want to get into Pedro. What's the last couple of days? What have you found yourself thinking of in terms of Pedro?
Well, I mean, the initial shock that I had, it was a text from a friend in the sports industry sharing this information. And I just couldn't believe it. I mean, it was just, how could he be taken from his family? Of course, all of us, you know, love Pedro. He is one of those people that was universally loved and respected. And that is not easy to do, especially in this business, right? So it really hit me hard. I mean, a lot of people use the term gutted, and it did. It's like a gut punch. And you just think about his family and how much he loved them and loved life. And so it was really hard to get my mind around. I'm not sure it still is even there, because he was, you could always count on, if you were going to run into him, and we haven't been running into people as much lately, but always smiling, always happy, always like seemingly grateful to be doing this great job that he loved. And he did it so well and very naturally. And it was because, I think, Brad, and I know you have thoughts on this too, is that he related to people so well and very genuinely. And I think that's why he did his job so well, too.
Yeah, he was someone that it was all about the person across from him. It wasn't all about him. And like last night, I noticed the national news is Jody, not the local news. His local news is did stories on him, and they were well done. But the national news is did stories on Pedro Gomez and his passing. And he would never... Pedro was a shorts, t-shirt, flip-flop guy I'd run into at the Safeway out in Ahwatukee, you know, and he was someone that he just wasn't above anybody else. And we've met people in the business that don't, you know who I am, and I'm better than everybody else because I'm this and I'm that. And that just wasn't him. And I think he showed his sides, all sides, to all people. It wasn't like he was one way to Jody Jackson, one way to Brad Sussmat. He was just, this is who I am. And it was great. It was refreshing. And, you know, as a worker, like, I'd admire you when I go to a Diamondbacks game and I see the clubhouse open and I see you just bounce from one thing to the next, because you're putting a show together. Pedro was the same way in a different form. And it didn't matter if it was back in 2000 or if it was 2019 when I'd see him. He was still the same way, going around in a locker room and coming up with nuggets. And yeah, I mean, for me, it crushed me, because I've gotten to know him by doing this and going deep like this for the last, he was showing up every week since 2011 when I started.
I know he was on your show a lot, and that just shows, you know, how much he loved connecting with you and the local people here. Even though he was on this national level, he, I think, reveled in being, you know, a guy that, and he's from Miami. Actually, he and I used to talk about Dadeland Mall and the stuff in South Miami that I got to know going to Miami. And then, you know, he was out here and he just, yeah, it's hard. It's really hard. I feel for you, because I know you were so close to him and spoke with him a lot. And I would see him around town. There was a picture of him and his son when he was little, and he was wearing that Ahwatukee YMCA shirt, yeah, which we've all been there to watch volleyball. My daughter played volleyball there for years. And it's like, he just loved doing those family things. Just like he did. And he took that into work. Like, he did that. He did his job with a lot of just passion and excitement every day.
You know, he did his job, but like, there'd be times where he would talk to Eric about, yeah, I'll come on tomorrow, but I've got to be in Tucson because Rio's doing this, or I'm going to be up in Bend, Oregon, or it was Yakima where Rio went to, I believe, initially for a short season. And he joined us from Yakima, and he was there every week, but he was, and he was always plugged in. It wasn't like you do a segment and, well, he's completely out of the loop. No, he was always plugged in. And so the family part of it for him, it's like you know, it's like what I try to do. We get that what we do is important to the audience in being around professional or college or high school sports, but we're not going to miss out on everything with our kids. And we do go through those seasons like you did earlier, where you miss some things. And now you're right in your wheelhouse where Friday nights you're there. And Pedro was at, I think, most everything for his kids. That, you know, there were the times, like in the playoffs this last year in October, every week he joined me from San Diego. He was quarantined and stuck in a hotel in San Diego because that's where they had the playoffs. There's worse places to be stuck than gas lamp. You know, there's worse places, but he's like, it's pretty lonely. You know, you go to the game, you come back, you go to your hotel, you bring a box dinner because nothing's open, and that's that. And I think that's what the respect for him. And I'm just curious in what will happen moving forward in terms of, somebody's going to come up with the right idea to say, this is how we're going to remember Pedro. I don't know what that will be. I don't know if it's going to be a press room that's named after him or an award that's named after him for media or community service or something here in the Valley, but somebody will come up with the right idea, because the outpouring of emotion and love for this guy is beyond what I think he would have ever thought. He would be like, what? I'm on the evening news? Come on. What are you talking about?
So. Yeah, it showed me even more. I knew a lot about Pedro and how wonderful he was, and knew it firsthand. But then some of the stories, I'm sure you've seen him on Twitter as well, standing up for a young reporter and going out of his way to tell someone, hey, great job, or, you know, and always saying, you know, yes to, you know, over the summer, he came on one of our digital shows on Fox Sports Arizona with Kristen McDougal and I, and he was like, yeah, I'll do it, you know, send him a message. And he was always willing to help other people. Like you said, it was about the other person, and he always saw the big picture. And yeah, I agree. There'll be one or more, many tributes to Pedro, and well deserved.
Yeah, there'll be something lasting, though, I think, on this one. I don't know where or when or why, or if the family would even want that, but there's just got to be something. But I appreciate your time. And it's great that you are doing well and enjoying the process of being football mom. At some point, Jordan Hamm needs to do recruiting roundup around your son in the next couple of years.
Yeah. Well, you know, look, I mean,
that will happen.
Do not expect any, you know, life happened. I believe things happen for a reason. And my son plays football and baseball. My daughter plays softball and volleyball. They're having fun. Most important thing is learning how to play on a team.
Yep.
Discipline. I do believe in, I'm not just feeding you this, you know, cliche stuff. It's real. I really think in that way, you know, I just warn my kids always, you know, you just live every day, you work hard, you can't, it's good to have goals, but you know, you don't want to necessarily say, well, everything has to be like this or like this, and, or else it's a failure. That's not the case. So anyway, I don't want to keep going on and on.
No. I tell parents when parents get excited, and I'm not no expert on this. I've just done it for 20 years with my kids. It's what is the GPA?
Yes.
You've written
about that. And I would encourage people to, I don't know if they can Google, but you've written about that. And that is, it gets lost. It really does. People say that it matters, but if you don't put the time in, and I've learned that with now having a child in high school, they have to put the time in, and you have to, that means sacrificing something else and hopefully not sleep. But
what is the GPA? Then what in the awards community section can you put on a college application? Because tape won't lie. And there's going to be a kid out there that's working just as hard as you somewhere around the country. Somewhere there's a quarterback that's working harder than your son maybe right now, or maybe not. So the competition part, that's fine. But what can you control? You can control your GPA. What can you control? You can control what you eat. What can you control? Your workouts. Be well-rounded. Go do things other than football. That's great. He's playing baseball. I got football coaches that tell me I see kids that all they are robots and their bodies are worn out because they've just done the same sport over and over and over and over and over. In fact, your son plays baseball. Maybe baseball's his calling. Maybe golf's his calling. I don't know.
I mean, you just never know. You don't want to close those doors. So, yeah.
All right. Stay safe.
Thanks, Brad.
There's Jody Jackson. And great stuff as always with Fox Sports Arizona. Before you know it, Bally Sports Arizona, even though I may not supposed to say that, but it's coming. So Paul Coro is on the other side. Stay with us. All right, as promised, Paul Coro joins us today. And of course, Paul at Grand Canyon University knows everything inside and out with the Lopes. This is a day, though, where I wanted to have Paul on to talk about Pedro. Because I'm having lots of people want to talk about Pedro because you two worked together, you knew each other well, you probably like me have been struggling with this. And I think just talking about it is helpful because I'm still getting overrun by people wanting to hear from people on Pedro. So thanks for coming on. How are you really doing today?
Thanks. You know, talking to friends constantly over the last couple of days, it's something that it's just hard to shake. You know, it's just all too real. And in this era where this is becoming all too frequent with familiarity with people, you know, my good NBA writer friend Sekou Smith passed away of COVID a week and a half ago. And that hit hard the morning that Pedro Gomez died. One of the other WAC basketball coaches, Lou Hill at UTRGV, died of COVID. And then this was just a gut blow because it was just so personal that, you know, I don't purport to be one of Pedro Gomez's best friends, but like my good friend Darren Urban said, if you met him, you were his friend because that's how good he was to everybody. And it was just different because we lived in the same neighborhood. We worked together after he came here, you know, 24 years ago. We worked together for several years and we're in the same circles thereafter. And what can you say about Pedro that hasn't been said? He's just an incredible guy, beyond an accomplished journalist and admired and respected person and baseball savant. He was just the perfect family man and friend.
When did you first meet him? Do you recall early on?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, he came in as a baseball scribe, you know, he had a great reputation from being in the Bay and, when we met, you know, we found out we lived in the same area. And so he was good enough early on to like have me over with my family. And so that just, you know, he felt like a big time guy already to me, you know, like he had such a great reputation, but for him to like open his home to family and let our families get to know each other. And then, you know, after that, he became a columnist. He became an ESPN rock star of sorts, especially during the Barry Bonds era. Mm-hmm. But then he never changed. He was the same person with friendliness from everybody to the new journalism student in town to the 30, 40 year old crusty vets of the business. And he just never changed. Like I would see him at our kids went to the same high school and we'd be over there for curriculum nights, kind of a parent teacher night. And he was just a dad walking around with a campus map, trying to find the next classroom, just like anybody else, with a smile on his face. And you know, that smile, it's the same one he gave everybody he knew when he saw him. Like he made everybody feel like the most important person in the room when he saw him.
Do you know where that came from? Did you guys ever talk in depth that side? Boy,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's got to come from his background. I think a lot of it is what he spoke about, his appreciation for his trek here with being born from Cuban immigrants and his mother carrying him and being days away from being born in Cuba, mm-hmm. Rather than America, and the opportunities that their decision to come to America gave him that he felt like obviously he would have never had there. And he had some voyages back there to revisit that. But I think he had a deep appreciation for all that life had given him here, and the opportunity to meet Sandy, who was his world, and those three kids. I mean, you know, he's got two boys, Rio and Dante, and a daughter, Sierra. And then like 3 days before he died, Minor League Baseball had a tweet to say, post a photo you have with a pro baseball player. And Pedro posted two photos of him and Rio, one as a minor leaguer and one as a little leaguer.
Yeah, that was touching stuff. I remember I had him on when he went down to Cuba, when he did it for ESPN, and he got emotional on the air. It was one of the few times where I saw him get emotional or heard him get emotional in that case. I did see him get mad once, and it was a conversation I was having with him and Luis Gonzalez, and Pedro would be fine sharing the story. The three of us are standing in front of the first base dugout between a Dodger Diamondback series, and Yasiel Puig was in full Yasiel Puig mode of just being his own person. And it drove Pedro and Gonzo crazy. And I'd never seen Pedro get mad at the embarrassment to the game, and somebody's got to talk to him, Gonzo, and you got to be the one to talk to him. And he was like storming around. Did you ever see him get upset, Paul?
No, but I've heard some great stories of him like standing up for other people.
Yeah.
You know, like there was a recent one going around about in his A's days where Tony La Russa was just berating some reporter who was at no fault for a headline that Tony La Russa hated and was dressing him down in front of the entire media room. You know how the reporters gaggle there every day. And at some point Pedro just cut him off. And think about, this is a much younger Pedro, you know, in the Oakland days. And he just said, Jesus Christ, Tony, cut him some slack. And the guy never forgot that, you know, like everybody in that room never forgot that about standing up for somebody else in the room. And just always had that mind of thinking of other people. You know, we'd cover baseball playoffs together, and whether it was the D-backs winning or the opponent winning, he taught me the lesson of picking corks up off the clubhouse celebration floor, because it would mean so much to friends and fans to share that with them. And sure enough, like I remember giving a Cardinals cork to one of my buddies, and he still has it because he thinks it's like the coolest thing in the world. And it's just that sort of thing. Pedro in that moment is thinking of other people.
Why was it that Pedro's death, do you think, was made world news tonight? Last night, Pedro's story was on all the world newses, not just Phoenix. Like it was national headline. And yet, you and I would run into Pedro. You'd run into him out in Ahwatukee. I ran into him in Ahwatukee a few times. I was over there at a Safeway parking lot, and we'd talk for like an hour. And it was, what are you doing here? So why do you think that this was national news? And he would have never thought that about himself, I don't believe.
Yeah, true. He would tell people, I think our friend Brett Hansen said something about his kid meeting him one time, and you know, he couldn't believe that he met a star like Pedro Gomez, and Pedro told him, well, your kid needs to have a new definition of what a star is. You know, he never saw himself in that light. I just think it's, I mean, really, has anybody got a bad thing to say about the guy?
No.
I mean, I think there were some people maybe early on in his time here that were envious of his quick rise or anything, but it was impossible not to like him. He just was that good of a person all the time. And, you know, the national stage made him feel welcoming to everybody. He had a different way about his reporting that was very, you know, living room conversation-like rather than scripted and read off a prompter. I think he connected with people in that way. He was a different face. He wasn't the cookie cutter broadcast look. He made me feel comfortable with being a brown man with salt and pepper hair. You know, it's okay. Pedro Gomez is out there on national television doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm talking with Paul Coro for a couple of minutes about the passing of Pedro Gomez. And also I want to shift over to GCU. So there's going to be a WAC tournament, right?
At this moment.
And they need the WAC tournament to get in, right? Or because they swept New Mexico State, because we don't know from day to day if there's going to be games. Do they have enough right now? Let's just say the conference said, we're done. They'd be the rep, right, for the tournament?
Yeah. If there was no tournament, you know, they're first place, 6-0. I think they would be. Their RPI wouldn't be good enough with notwithstanding, you know, if somebody else won the tournament for them to get in. I mean, it has risen. They've done pretty well. They're actually side by side with ASU right now in that ranking. But they're 12-3. There's only about 20 some teams in the nation that have won 80% of their games, and they're one of them. The problem is it's just this hiccup of a season. You know, like they keep on having these shutdowns like they are right now. And they have to try to rebuild to where their rhythm was before that. Like they played really well in December and then they had a break over Christmas. So now they had this one where last week's games were canceled and they didn't have a game scheduled for this week because Chicago State had canceled its season. So now you got another big gap where they have to try to find their rhythm again. And it's all, you know, Bryce Drew's made it. So it's all building toward March, you know. The New Mexico State wins were great. It broke a skid and a struggle against them, but he got in that locker room that day and said, this is not what we're happy with after the first one. The second one, he let him celebrate a little bit more. I don't know if you saw that,
yeah, that video, but I did.
The whole team splashed him with water bottles, and that's pretty awesome to see. It shows how much the players have already connected with him.
What has worked with Bryce Drew, from your view? And this isn't to throw Dan under the bus. Dan left. You bring in a coach. Usually in a first-year situation, it doesn't flick. It's flicked this year, it feels like. I mean, they're within a point away of being with ASU. It'd be another victory and a big one that would be on their resume. He's not come in here and struggled. Why is that? It can't just simply be, well, they got some transfers in and all work. He's got to bring them together, and it's fit.
Yeah, he's huge on cohesion. He's also brought in a tremendous staff. You know, all three of his lead assistants have had Power Five experience. So it's been a very much a staff effort to get them where they're here. Their practice regimen is relentless. It's very precise. They hold everybody to a high standard. You could be the Alessandro Labor or the Javon Blackshear Jr. type stars, returners of the team, or you could be the new freshman, but everybody is held to the same standard for what he expects. But he also shows tremendous care for every player. But the transfers do make a big difference. Like Asbjørn Midtgaard is an amazing story. He's 7 foot, 270 pound rock. Absolutely.
Playing well. He's playing great.
You know, Brad, when you see these guys transfer and they didn't play somewhere, you're like, okay, what's the issue? Character issue, right? Giant holes in his game. What? There's none of that with this guy. He's leading the nation in field goal percentage, 74.5. He's almost averaging a double-double, and he never had a double-double at Wichita State. But he wasn't a winning program. And another credit to Bryce Drew. He was doing ESPN games for that conference and had seen that guy play. So when he went in the portal, he scooped that guy up right away. And they immediately – this isn't some sort of in-season phenomenon. They thought this for him before the season started.
Can he play at the next level?
Take
your son's experience and – He'll get drafted. I mean,
for sure, he's a European pro. His Dutch roots or Dane roots will help him a great deal with that. But he's getting to the point where he's going to get some looks at the NBA level, at least in a workout environment to give himself a chance. You know, maybe it would take another year, but he's got touch. He's got handles. He's a high character person. He's super smart and he's strong as an ox. You cannot. One of the first things Javon Blackshear said, Javon Blackshear is great about sneaking up on guys and stripping the ball. And he went up and tried to hit that thing on Ash and it didn't budge. He's got incredibly strong hands. And then he goes to the free throw line and knocks down, 80% there. Yeah. He's had to become accustomed to being a featured player. He'd never been double teamed before. He'd never been schemed against by defenders, but he's handled it really well.
Yeah, if he was over playing for ASU, they'd be a Final Four team, you know?
Very well, maybe.
That's what it is. You have a big man like that, and he's playing really well for GCU, and good for him. I appreciate your time. And I know this isn't easy, but I think it's just helpful to talk through it, all of us. And I know the audience appreciates your thoughts, so stay well.
Yeah, I love everybody finding out more about Pedro. It's great to have neighbors come up to me and say, I met him at a restaurant and what a guy he was. That's awesome to hear.
There's Paul Coro at Grand Canyon University, and we're back with more after this time out.